Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime.
Is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Katie Wilkins and I'm an author and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where brandy meets bludgeoning, mimosa meets misdemeanor, and port meets prostitution. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
I've been very fascinated by my own case, I have to say.
Want me, governor?
I did accidentally smoke crack the next day.
Dun, 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 dun.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Welcome to another episode of Drunk Women Solving Crime. We are joined today by the fantastic comedian Gabby Bryan.
Hi. Hey, girls.
Hey. What's up? Thank you for joining us. We have one question. Have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Okay, yes. This is kind of more like... It didn't turn into a crime, but it could have been a crime.
Ooh.
So I'll give away the ending first. So I believe that I was almost sold into sex trafficking.
Whoa, holy
that's
shit.
A big ending.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So
flashback.
Rolling the and also, to be clear, I'm fine.
You're here.
This is not traumatic. Okay. Honestly, okay. It was kind of fun. And
good lord, the story has everything.
It really does.
Yes.
We're
it
in.
Was not a me too. It was a me also kind of energy. So I was in Romania.
Okay.
At a theater festival. Okay. And
can I ask how old were you?
22.
Okay.
22, so my prime.
Just how sad this story
is. After 25, you're not really, like, worthy of sex trafficking, I feel like. Because
oh,
once retinol's in the mix, you're like,
You're too opinionated
such
by 25.
Such a brutal industry.
Exactly.
Don't have the opportunities after 25.
Exactly, the beauty of it all. So I was, like... slutting it around, or what do you guys say? Slagging it.
We do. We slagging say it. Slutting's made it over here.
Really?
Yeah.
I've certainly been described thus.
I get that all the time.
You were slutting it up.
So I was slutting it up in Romania at this theater festival, and I met this guy who was Serbian, and his name, I don't remember his full name, but it was something Dad. Which I thought was like hilarious.
Okay.
Like dad, dada. I was like, goo goo gaga for this dada. And we were, of course, having sex on a dumpster because I was young.
Wow.
And wow. Fun, really. And then I don't remember.
Romanian dumpsters are padded with silk, though. What you don't yeah. realize, it's a very different country.
It's like a coffin, really. Yeah. So I'm having sex with this dad on this dumpster, and then cut to, and we're drinking, like, at that time, I am, like, drinking so much. And you know how every country has their own, like, grain liquor?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Theirs was called Tweeka, and it's made from plums, and it's pink.
Okay.
So I'm, like, covered in this pink blood. Looks like blood. And I'm having sex with this guy, whatever. And then cut to, I'm in a bed. Being shaken awake.
Ooh. Oh, shit.
Don't remember anything. Remember the dumpster. Loved the dumpster. Cut to I'm in a bed somewhere. Whoa. Being shaken awake. Yikes. By my best friend, Alec.
Wow.
And oh, I'm like, God. Like, you know when you're half in a dream and then you realize it's actually happening?
Yeah. Mm.
So I'm being shaken awake, whatever. And I wake up and I'm like, what the fuck? And he's like, we have to go right now. And I'm like, what's going on? He's like, let's go right now. Like whispering. The guy is asleep next to me. cut to. It's all coming in pictures because obviously I'm bullet or roofied or belligerent, whatever.
Wow.
And suddenly cut to there, the giant Serbian guy and my little Italian friend, Alec, are like face to face about to fight.
Oh, wow. Man.
Cut to, we're running down a staircase.
Oh, my God. Oh my God.
This is like a movie.
Yeah.
It really
yeah.
is.
Yeah. And I'm like, wait.
It's like in Bruges, but in Bucharest.
I'm looking at him like, what's happening? I'm getting Polaroids. You know what I mean? And I come to find out that everyone, like my whole group of American friends and this whole group of Serbian people are in the same hotel or go back to the same hotel partying. And my friend Alec is like, where's Gabby? And they're all like, don't worry about it.
Ooh.
Okay. And he's like, no,
good answer.
Where's yeah. Gabby? Yeah. And they're like, just, I wouldn't go find her.
Yeah, that's when who has
ever accepted that as like, yeah. okay, all yeah, right. fine.
Well,
like,
she's
gone now. Yeah.
Like, do you know what? I wouldn't.
Okay.
I wouldn't.
He's running through the hallways, like trying to look for me. Oh, and he finds a hotel door cracked open and he opened it and it was like me. It was me in bed.
Wow. Oh my God.
And then that's how he shook me awake. And then we ran away. And the guy was like, don't fucking take her, blah, blah, blah. This whole thing.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I obviously surmise that I was sold into sex trafficking. I was going to be. I could have just been brought home to be like a wife and a mother. But I think I'm hotter than that. So I'd like to think it was sex trafficking.
So you don't remember what happened between consensual dumpster.
Yep.
And you have memories of the running and they're facing off, but you don't yeah. know exactly how you got there.
I'm assuming we had sex. I obviously took a plan B the next day. And if you've ever gotten a plan B in Romania, would not suggest. You go in there and you're like, hi. Do you have like a... You're like, how do you describe... I'm like, it's not... It's an issue. We have an issue. Can I have a plan B? And they're all smiles until you say plan B. And they're like,
wow. Oh, Nina.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then just go slutty American.
Horrible yeah. slut.
Oh, and then no. I took it and I'm fine. And now it's a fun story that I tell on podcasts.
Wow. That's wild.
Crazy. Yeah.
That is an amazing story. Yeah. I'm a bit shaken.
Yeah, I mean, I want to know more about Alec. Like, what a guy. Where do you know
yeah.
him from?
Alec and I, Alec Funicello, shout out.
What a hero.
Oh, he's called Alec Funicello. Well, stop it.
My little Italian darling. He's an actor. He was in Sleep No More for a long time. You guys know. You have that here, I think. Punch Drunk. It's a theater thing.
Oh, yeah.
He was in that. Great actor. Aww. Him and I have been in a handful of life or death situations all over the world. One time we saved a girl from bleeding out.
Jesus.
Whoa. One time we found a girl lost in Argentina.
Wow.
We were like, it's for some reason, you know, you have that one friend where you're like, why are we always on like high alert together? What I've like made a tourniquet with him and we're always like looking at each other like,
You guys should have a reality series. Yeah. Gabby and Alec, I would watch that.
This is the travel show that we need.
Yeah, truly.
Danger travel.
It's great.
It's like Doctors for Dummies or something. Oh my God. So someone was bleeding out, and did you just like put pressure on it like in the movies, or?
That's a whole nother story. It's not really a crime, but I could tell it if you want. Do we even have time?
Do we have enough time?
Let's have it at the end if we have time.
Oh, nice.
Bleeding out is a treat. That's what we do. What we do in my family too. You have to have your dinner before the bleed out treat.
That's dessert.
That's it.
Pudding.
Oh,
as you would call it here.
Yes. Thank you, Gabby.
Yeah, I've dated a northerner. I know what's up.
How did it end with these guys?
Yeah.
Like, so you escaped, but were there repercussions? Did you just like run and they never found you? Like,
no, nothing happened. I did accidentally smoke crack the next day. Yeah, so that feels like a repercussion.
This travel show is commissioned.
Yeah. Dun 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 dun.
we always ask on this podcast too, like, what would you say to the perpetrator now? What would you say to the...
I forgot the best part.
Oh. Go on.
Oh. Very exclusive.
Okay, it's months later. Oh my God, I can't believe I forgot about this. It's months later. This is the era when we're on Facebook, right? It's yes. The Stone Age. We're on Facebook. And I get this like long Facebook DM. What was it called?
Yeah, yeah, message.
Message, whatever. Yeah. And it's this guy's wife.
No,
Dad had a wife.
Dad had a wife.
Mom.
And dad was a dad.
Oh,
dad was
shit.
A dad. Had kids. And she was like, I know what happened, blah, 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 all this stuff.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, listen.
Why are you angry at me?
Listen, yeah. Honey. No, I don't remember. I was like, I don't even think I answered.
No, I mean, what do you say to that?
I don't know.
Like, to have a word with your husband, probably. Like,
yeah.
How is that your fault?
I don't know. Girls against girls. We're done with that.
Yeah.
How dare you get drugged by my husband?
Yeah. That's our thing.
I expect this of him, but not an American I've never met.
Crazy.
Oh,
and I was like, how does this guy know my first and last name?
Well, yeah.
Also,
that's
because I can't even remember his first name.
Maybe you yell out your own name during sex when you've had a pill.
So cool. Self promotion.
Gabby Bryant!
It's Gabby Bryant on Instagram and TikTok.
My friend's boyfriend used to do that.
Rufy?
I'm gonna change his name.
Yeah.
So this is not his real name, but he'd go, Dave's good, Dave's good, Dave's good.
Ew.
Oh no, that's worse than saying your full name. I'd rather have like Paul Smith than good. Oh, that is
Dave's
freakish.
Good?
Yeah. That's freakish.
Oh no.
And then one time we're in a pub. I was younger at this time. We were in a pub that had a dance floor, you know, one of the shitty ones. After a few drinks, we would have a little dance in the shitty pub dance floor. And he was dancing, and like she'd all told us, and my other friend went, Dave's not so good at dancing.
Imagine saying an affirmation in bed.
No.
That's, ooh.
Oh, I hate
that. Jeez. Just when you think you've heard everything creepy that's been said in bed, there's always something new, like Dave's good.
We are more upset about this than the roofing and the sex trafficking.
That, honestly, I was roofied. That's worse.
This is disgusting, and I've lowered the tone.
What do you say back to that? What did she say?
No, you're not.
Know what she said back to that, actually.
I think probably la 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 with her ears plugged.
I don't.
That's what I'd do.
I'd probably say Hannah's better.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
Now that we've got all of our sexual disgust out in the open, I'd like to talk to you all about true crime.
Yay!
Of course. We're girls after all.
So now, this case I'm going to tell you about, I'm going to start this case with a posh young man arriving at the Imperial Hotel in London.
Ooh.
Now, he has with him, yes, ooh la la indeed, he has with him a heavy trunk.
And ew!
Let's go, girls!
I'm checking in tonight. Your trunk is really big.
I'm okay. Just realizing how many more times I'm going to have to say trunk in this story.
We're really excited.
Every time we're going
So he's got that, and he's got some other bags.
That's fine. Totally back.
They're either side of the trunk.
All trunks now, come with two bags.
Yeah. Now, he is wearing a midshipman's uniform, and this uniform signifies that he is upper class, and it basically gets him access to salubrious spaces.
Ooh. Define salubrious for me.
Upper class, you know, VIP.
Very much like my flat. But of course. You're in a salubrious place right now.
But it also means a bit seedy, right?
No, so it's a midshipman's army uniform.
But I thought salubrious meant seedy. No?
No.
Oh, wow, I've been misusing that my entire life.
I mean, they call you salubrious and you're like, hey!
I mean, oftentimes...
To be fair, I've never said it out loud. I've only read it.
Hand in hand sometimes. But
anyway, I'm sorry.
Salubrious. Right.
That's so true.
He's so got access. He's got a
trunk. Yeah, he's got a trunk, he's got a bag, he's got a uniform that looks fancy.
Gotcha.
My question is, what year do we think this is?
Okay.
Okay, so unless he's like Kylie Jenner, he would never have like a Louis Vuitton trunk.
Checking in with a trunk, yeah.
So that feels... And in we don't really wear our army uniforms out anymore, do we?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, in Britain, yes, we do.
No, we don't at all. That feels like... It feels like maybe there had to be some kind of war going on, maybe, mm-hmm. for him to do that.
Okay.
So...
Now, what wars have you guys had over here?
So many.
I'm going to say 1918.
Okay.
I'm just going to throw that there. Because it's 1 year after 1917, and that was a movie.
So that's a smart answer.
Totally.
I like your source material showing your work there.
I'm picturing opulence in a way.
Okay.
Because, yeah, upper middle class. I mean, what'd you say? Upper class.
Yeah.
Imperial Hotel. I don't know what that is, but it sounds fancy.
It is. Yeah.
I'm going to say like roaring 20s.
Okay. Nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 1926.
Nice.
Love it. Hannah George. Ooh,
I'm going to go 1912, but only because he could have just stepped off the Titanic. I don't know. We don't know.
Oh, yeah.
He could be a Titanic guy.
Stepped off the Titanic because he decided not to go.
Yeah.
You know what? I got
I
a bad
have
feeling.
A spooky feeling.
It's a real slight.
Me and my trunk. Yeah, me and my trunk are getting out of here.
All right. Now, Taylor is technically the closest with 2018.
Well, 2018. That wasn't when the first World War was.
1918.
He was a fan of the Jonas Brothers.
That was like those were the closest guesses we've ever had, though. So it's we're probably all close.
Yeah, that one.
But Gabby was right to say 20. It was 1920.
Okay.
So you had the right instincts, but Taylor was technically close.
Do you know what? I'd like you to take the point, even though we don't keep points. I would like you to have the non-existent
point. I'll take
point.
The point.
Yeah.
So you guys had good instincts with your war theories. Everyone is very much still dealing with the aftermath of the Great War.
Mm-hmm.
They're not calling it World War I yet.
No. That would be really pessimistic.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it feels like
we're
one.
We're living between the wars. We're too classy for shoddy dialogue. Now, the midshipman's uniform is significant because they were among the most admired in society at the time. Because that signifies that he's posh, he's served, he's high status, and he's basically like this popular pre-James Bond figure.
He feels a little bit like those people that keep the wristbands on from festivals. So. You're still wearing your uniform, babe. It's 1920, actually.
We get it. You saw Tame Impala first.
It's like that, except that everyone is impressed.
Okay.
So like, just think like, but like, men want to be him, and women want voting rights. It is not happened yet. Hashtag not all women. Some women are probably happy to just bring him.
That was such great in sync cackling. By the way, that was fantastic. I can't wait to listen back. Voting rights.
Throw your head back.
Lightning cracks.
Now, the Imperial Hotel have no record of this man's booking. The man is astounded. He introduces himself as Lord Lucas and he says things like, "Do you know who I am?" Mm. And he says that he sent a telegram to Burke and he's shouting stuff like, "Run them again!" Like, what's her name? Mm. And he keeps boasting that he has considerable means. So the hotel apologise and they put him up in a fancy suite. So he has very strict instructions about the handling of his trunk.
Wow, wow, wow. Ambulance? I don't know.
If you mishandle it, yes.
If it's that big.
He wants the rest of the bags taken to a suite, but he wants the trunk stored in the storage room. He says it's not to be tampered with, only he has the key.
Okay.
What does he tell the hotel is in the trunk?
Like war medals, like a really big one that he can't attach to his...
Big war medals.
A big war medal.
They're really big.
Yeah, he's got the biggest one because he was the bravest boy.
Aww.
I liked that. I don't know why. Aww. He's my crush.
I'm going with like money, like actual okay. hard cash.
Yeah. Okay.
By that, I mean like all your little coins you have
yeah.
here.
Great answer.
I'm going to say apples.
Okay.
Oh. Sweet just as some pie.
Fruit. Just some fruit.
My apples.
Just some fruit in a trunk.
I got these in the war. I won these in the war.
No, I was actually going to say family heirlooms. Okay, that he's carrying around heirlooms for some reason.
You're all in the right area. He says it's full of heavy, valuable, irreplaceable artifacts, papers, and items. Question. Once he's all settled in, what does Lord Lucas do next?
So he asked, he's asked them to store the trunk.
Yeah.
Separately from his room.
Yeah.
Okay. What does he do?
And he's in his room or he's in the lot.
He's checked into the hotel. What does he do?
He goes to the bar.
Okay. Yeah. Goes to the bar.
Nice.
Love it.
I think he has a little nap.
A little nap?
Yeah. He's been hauling that trunk around.
Is there a bath in there? Because if there's a bath, I'd get straight in the bath. So I think, because I take my own bubble bath to hotels now. Because they don't give you bubble baths.
I love
so
how our answers are all like, girls' weekend yeah. away.
He puts on a face mask.
Well, I'm having a nap.
He does some red light therapy.
I'm going to go get a cocktail.
And he gets a gel manicure.
And it's in the
back. You know what? I mean, Gabby gets the point. Okay. With drinking, he starts living his best life. The hotel book him a champagne dinner for six at the hotel. They hire cars for him. He's running around in luxury. He goes on a spending spree.
Is he eating that all by himself, or does he have friends?
He had guests.
He's got some mates. Okay, good. Because I'm not above doing that.
I need a turn.
No, I'll take the first six.
I'll have a champagne dinner for six.
I mean, it sounds nice. He goes on a spending spree in the West End of London. He runs up a massive bill at Harrods. Mm-hmm. After a few weeks, everyone's like, shouldn't we get paid? So the under manager at Harrods pops around. Now, Lucas owes £32, which is £14,000 today. And he's all like, where is young Lord Lucas? No one can find him.
Uh-oh.
So outside his room, there's like his boots are there to be polished and his breakfast tray is untouched, but he's not there. And he hasn't paid the hotel bill either. That he's racked up loads there. And he's obviously like, you know, do not disturb. But they're like, all right, we're going to have to disturb him. But he's not in his room. And it looks like he's gone. So they decide to force open the trunk.
Uh-oh.
Question. What's in that trunk?
Oh, those apples are going to be so bad by now. Bad apples.
He's in the trunk. That's my guess.
Ooh, nice.
Whoa. What a stupid hiding place. There'd be one other place.
Hey, close the lid.
He's Dracula. Oh my God, what is in the trunk? I feel like there's a dead body in there.
Dead body?
I'm going to go with dead body.
I feel like it might just be like sand or something. It just in the sense that he's obviously a con man, so he's turned up in this suit, and the kind of the trunk gives him a bit of credence, doesn't it? It gives him a little bit of like, Scott,
he rich people specific. Stuff.
But he was like, oh, there's documents in there, mate. So I wonder whether it's just like, full of heavy sand.
You are the closest. It's full of old newspapers.
Oh, my goodness.
Weird.
Yeah. So Lord Netley Lucas is a con artist.
Yes, he is.
Question, do they catch him at this time?
No.
No?
The episode's longer than this.
Yeah, not yet.
Okay, they actually do catch it.
Oh. At this
time. Well, thank you for being with us, Gabby. It's been really fun.
No, there's a whole, he's in and out. We'll get there.
Okay.
But he's only 17 at this time.
Oh, little Lucas.
Yeah.
Cute.
I like him.
So he's charged with fraudulently incurring money at Harrods, etc. He's remanded at Westminster. He's observed as a well-dressed youth. Also at Harrods, because he'd falsely represented himself as a son of Lady Lucas, who was a well-known customer.
Oh, okay.
So he's charged with that impersonation as well. He gets detained at Bow Street Police Station for masquerading with a false ID at the hotel, and also he's in possession of a checkbook with counterfeit foils and all of this. So I've got a little fun quote now. When he's told of the charges, what does Lucas say?
Want me, Governor?
Want me, Governor? Love it.
He suddenly reveals his real voice.
He's suddenly a Cockney.
Which is Phil Mitchell.
For some reason.
Getting more and more ill.
Yeah.
Does he say something like, you'll hear from my family's lawyers?
Nice, yeah.
I know it's not this, but I'd like to think that he was like, LOL.
And this is the history of the first person to say LOL.
LOL.
Do you know what? I'm going to... Gabby, again, is the closest.
How?
With vibes.
Nice.
I'm pretty good at vibes.
Generally.
He says, well, yes, I have had a good run and expected you would get me sooner or later. I shall plead guilty.
Aww.
So it's sort of a bit like LOL.
It is a bit.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, you got me.
What an adorable response.
So I
people said so much in the past. Have you noticed that? Their sentences are longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially criminals. They're like, what? My name is this, this, and this, and you can find me at this exact address. And I'm like,
it's like I do declare. Yes.
Now it's just no comment if you watch 24 Hours in Police Custody.
Yeah. Not enough comment. Paltrow, like, I wish you well.
Oh, I know. That's just the most damning thing you can say to anyone in any context. Like, it doesn't matter.
It's two mean girls.
Yeah, I wish you well.
Those were great memes, though. I like the one that said, join a union.
All right, now, I just want to tell you my fun facts from this case.
Yeah, yeah.
There is actually a huge boost in confidence tricksters in the 1920s. Mm-hmm. Because we've got the Great War, we've got the Spanish flu. Everybody is, like, mixing together in ways that they hadn't before.
Okay.
So these traditional things have broken down. And now there's all these spaces where they can mix. So there's tea rooms, there's restaurants, there's a kind of more transient... There's these new, you know, department stores.
Sure.
So it used to be that you knew who everybody was and you could tell exactly what class everybody was. And now it's much more ambiguous and fashion is changing. So there's cosmetics. Poor people can dress like rich people, dress like Hollywood actresses, all of this stuff. So social identities are increasingly about performance.
And people aren't as cynical. They're not going to question a guy coming in that doesn't have a book in, like, but he's wearing the outfit that says he's rich. Yeah.
Exactly. Whoa. Which brings me to my absolute favorite fun fact.
Okay.
This is the beginning of the phrase streetwise.
Because we are
so used to mixing all different people all together that we, like, you know, we have got that social antenna on, but these people are brand new at it because this is the first time they've ever had to mix with somebody that wasn't what they seemed.
Wow.
So they're really naive. They're like Hannah.
This has become a thing on the podcast that I'm very naive and it's absolutely spot on.
So anyway, that's my fun fact.
Interesting.
So this is the story of Netley Lucas, all-round con artist. Oh, before I tell you more stuff he did, would you like to guess his nickname?
I'm doing a dance until I can think of the words.
It's to do with being a con man.
Nimble Netley.
Nimble Netley. Love it.
Con Net. Lee. Lucas.
Or Lucky Lucas.
Netley Lucas. This is good.
I don't understand nicknames.
Nasty Net is what I'm going with.
Nice.
Yeah, that's good. None of you have got it this time.
We never do.
His nickname was the Prince of Tricksters.
Oh, okay. Okay. Because he tended to go for the upper class. That was his thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, he released the purple rain of cons. I don't know. So this guy wrote a book about him, Professor Matt Holbrook, which I did not read, but I read
full disclosure.
But anyone who would like to can.
Yes. But despite this guy writing a book about him and stuff, it's actually very hard to say very much for sure about Netley Lucas because he was such a liar. Mm. And loads of the accounts we have about him are from him. And he changed his story depending on what he wanted.
Gotcha.
So it's very hard to pin down. But we think he was born on a yacht, which...
I mean, straight away.
It sounds like such a lie. But there's more than one source
said that.
Okay. His mum died in childbirth.
It was a rowboat.
His mum died in childbirth or shortly after, again, depending on who you ask. His dad ran off and died mysteriously, possibly murdered in Paris in 1907, according to one account. So his parents probably weren't married, but his mum's parents were rich. So he got sent to posh school for a bit.
Legitimately.
Yes. Well, rich. This is the thing. And it's so some versions of his childhood say that he was brought up by the Duke of Bedford, who was a big deal in the war.
He had a real big medal, not a fake one.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So big.
Real drunk.
And was possibly a friend of his granddad. There's a story about him being adopted by a lock keeper in Pimlico, I don't know. And then we have a fact, okay? Woo! But he was at a public school. He was a public school boy at Bedford School for 2 years, and this is verified. Mm. Well, one of the sources... Well, one source said he absconded. Another one said that he was expelled for stealing and forging his headmaster's signature.
Well, that feels
that
right.
Checks out.
Yeah.
Also, I love, like, abscond rather than, like, we used to call it bunking off. Like, yeah. Absconding is so much cooler.
It is.
He was excommunicated by public school.
So then he drifted into a life of petty crime, and he uses this true bit as a kind of true thread through all of his stories. So it's kind of very useful to him. He kind of builds all his other stuff around
a lot of the con artists that we have covered on this podcast have some connection to the actual upper classes, yes, because it's hard to just emulate that and know how to do
rules.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you've learned the language and the mannerisms,
you can pass. So he got 3 years for the Harrod stuff, but he gets out after 20 months in 1922. So apparently he's handsome as well.
Oh, I mean, in my head,
the whole time he was a hottie.
Of course.
Yeah. Absolute
You don't get free store credit at Harrods.
It's hot privilege right there.
Yeah. Hot privilege. He's in the bubble. So he's still got the naval uniform and the fancy manners. So he one of his cons is he tricks women out of money by pretending that his dad is an influential man looking for a secretary. I don't understand how that's a big earner, but he does this other thing. He goes to Canada for a bit with another guy and they set up a fake employment agency. But they he gets arrested, serves 30 days, gets deported back from Canada.
He's busy, isn't he?
He's very busy. In 1924, he starts writing, and he writes for magazines. He writes detective and crime stories.
Oh.
And he's prolific. But also, he apparently had a ghostwriter, this guy, Richard L. Dearden. But he writes for tabloids. He writes for newspapers. Like, he writes for magazines, articles, short stories.
He's had an amazing life.
Yeah. We're going to get back to the writing stuff, but I also want to tell you this story, which timeline-wise must have happened just before the Harrods Hotel thing that I told you about. So he's still 17, and he gets himself a pseudonym.
Pseudonym?
It's Beyonce.
And his pseudonym is Basil Vaughan. And
not Beyonce, just want to put that out there.
Yeah.
Basil.
It's good. And he's
not subtle.
Wow.
Basil Vaughan.
He seduces this French actress.
Okay.
Called Gabby Delice. Oh, yes.
It was me.
She's
That's your stage name.
I take off the mask. I'm just me, but older.
Gabby Delice is quite a name.
Yes.
Gabby Delice.
And she's a really big deal. She's 38 at this point. She's had this amazing career. She's like this amazing dancer. She's been in all this stuff. She has an indiscreet affair with King Manuel II of Portugal.
Oh, hell yeah.
But for our purposes, she's also famous for her jewelry collection.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah. Modern day, like influencer. Or not modern day.
Yeah.
In a day influencer.
Actually, yeah.
Yes.
So she wants to auction off all of her pearls to help the poor of Marseille. I know how to say this. Marseille.
I just say it really fast because I can't really say it. Marseille. That's how I pronounce everything French. Marseille. Fast.
So, Netley Lucas, a.k.a. Basil Vaughan, wants the jewels entrusted to him to help transport them to the auction house.
Okay.
So helpful of him.
And she's already had a taste of his trunk, so she's like, oh, God. All
right. I think my jewels could fit in that big-ass trunk.
But according to himself, he broke the rules of a professional confidence trickster. Question, how?
He fell in love.
Yes.
Yeah, I knew it.
That's classic.
He says he fell in love with his mark. But this is his, it's unreliable because it's his story.
And because he's 17 as well. And I think any kind of love when you're 17 is unreliable. Sorry if you're 17-year-olds listening, but you're not really in love.
And your feelings might change.
Good luck.
Drunk women solving crime.
It's time for polka shoutouts. Ray! Nina Ellis! Catherine Addison! Claudia C. Carrie Fuentes. Simon Toothill. Rachel Winifred. Lauren Cayley. Polka, 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 polka. If you'd like a shout out like this, ad-free listening, our famous live Zoom recordings, and a whole back catalog of extra content. Go to patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime. Polka, 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 polka.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And also, he wrote this story for money later. So it's probably embellished.
I'll allow it.
Or did it just go wrong? That's a great thing. If, like, your cons go wrong and you're just like, oh, I was actually in love with them, so that's what happened.
Actually,
like,
yeah.
Halfway round, I caught feelings and then suddenly I had to, like, not do it anymore.
I couldn't think straight. And I was like...
Oh my god, that is literally what has happened. Because
Because
the con goes wrong, and this is his explanation.
Brilliant.
He says that he couldn't go through with it, and he confessed to her before he could steal anything that he was going to steal from her. Because of all the love, he couldn't go through with it. She apparently told him that she knew all along, and she'd given him fake pearls. And that she never kept the real ones in her apartment anyway. And she said that she forgives him, but that they could never see each other again.
But she did give him some pearls.
She gave him the fake pearls and said, get out, be gone forever.
So he's got these...
He's got the fake pearls, yeah.
And are they fake?
Yeah.
She really did give fake pearls?
Yeah, she had the real ones in a safe somewhere in a bank. Yeah,
that's quite a move on her part.
Yeah, just break up with him.
Yeah. Like,
also, they did break up. She was like, have the fake pearls and also goodbye forever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so she wanted to see if he'd take them.
Yeah.
I love women. I love that we're like, we won't just break up with you. We have to get you in something. We have to get you in a little trap. And then we're like, it's that. It's not because I'm just tired and I'm not into it anymore. It's because of this.
Twist that knife. Oh. all right, so we're back to 1924. He's writing, and he's been in and out of prison scams, blah blah blah. He has this fun quote about journalism, which, because he's a journalist now, and he says journalism is the only good profession for which the criminal life is good training.
Savage.
So he wrote for tabloids. He's got that ghostwriter. He has 5 bestsellers.
Wow.
In the next few years. And not all of his stories are true. Yeah, some are... And again, he's got this ghostwriter. But so some are exaggerated.
You will not let him have this.
You can tell Katie's an author. She's like, credit where credit is due.
Just saying that some people should be honest. People should be credited.
No. When does he fall in love with the ghostwriter?
We haven't forgotten you, Mr. Dearden, or whatever his name was.
Yeah, it was Richard Dearden. Well done.
Dearden.
I love that you couldn't remember his first name, so you had Mr.
Mr. Dearden.
I know.
Surname's more memorable.
So he's writing lots of stories about crime. Some are exaggerated. Some are, you know, partially true. But there is a huge appetite for true crime. Same as it ever was.
What a sick society it was.
But he's building his brand. At the end of the 1920s, he's done all this. He's got the kind of legitimate journalism career under his belt now. And he reinvents himself as a criminologist. So he's kind of giving everything he's doing a very academic air. He's kind of like above all the crime stuff.
This is literally the movie Catch Me If You Can.
It's very similar,
It's exactly it. And I'm picturing Leo this whole time.
Oh, okay.
Young Leo.
Yeah.
But that's so weird that he would date someone that was 38. That seems crazy.
Especially at the time. That was like legally dead as a woman.
Leo would not have said yes to this project.
No.
Yeah. Uh-uh.
So he ruins his reputation in the UK in 1927. Question, what do you think he does?
Oh, gosh.
So people presumably know his past because he's written about it.
Yes.
So if he's ruining his reputation, presumably it's not another con because people might just go, God, bloody.
He's, yeah.
He's met
so he's built himself as this journalist that's, you know.
Does he take himself so seriously that he's acting as a criminologist? Like, is he advising detectives maybe? And he's like, no, I can crack this case for you. And he gives really bad advice and it costs a
case. You know
what?
I'm going to give you the point.
Ooh.
I'm sorry I didn't get everyone a chance to answer.
It was just so good that there's no point in hearing from the other women.
Exactly. So yes. Yes, pick me over
you
there.
So close.
Oh, and I'm not even right.
No,
damn it.
No, you're basically
you're
on
close.
It.
Okay.
So
I'll take my half point.
It's just if I'd said, oh, you're kind of right, then excuse everyone's guessing, but then I can't. Anyway, I should have. Whatever. I'm sorry I didn't let everyone have
the podcast is flawed, guys.
I'm crying, but other than that, I'm fine. In 1927, he tried to sell a story to both Fleet Street and Scotland Yard that he'd solved an ongoing murder case.
Okay.
And two papers published it as fact before the evidence made it all come tumbling down.
Ooh.
So he gets a caution and he's exposed again as this big liar. Everyone is really pissed off with him now. He's like really struggling to sell anything. So he needs a new audience that is ignorant of his crimes. Question.
America.
Fuck yeah.
Are we right?
Right?
Yes.
Yay!
Sorry, honey.
Where did we get the chance?
No.
Where people will believe us.
Good instinct.
Oh, that's amazing. God.
So he flees to America. He's always wanted to crack it. He wants better customer service. He wants it all.
Totally. Yeah.
And everyone hates him in the UK. So he goes to America. By 1928, he announces his upcoming wedding to an American.
Oh.
And my question is, who do you think it would be? Like, which American? You could name, guess jobs. Who do you think he's going to get?
So it's not a specific person.
Well, it is. But you won't probably know their name. So
try me. How about?
Give me knows all the socialites.
Give me a ballpark of what you think they do.
What are we talking, 1930? 1928. Oh, 1928. That, of course, would be.
I'm going for a daughter of a Rockefeller.
Okay, love it. Yeah.
Nice.
That's a great answer.
I'm going to go for the daughter of a president.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe Woody Woodrow. No.
Hannah once tried to remember the name Woodrow Wilson. She said Woody Woodrow. And we've never let it go.
Just like he's like some fucking cartoon character.
It's a good name.
Now you can see why Hannah's so naive.
Yes, so naive. I thought Woody Woodpecker was running.
In America, he won.
Yeah.
And we'd be like, it's
best president.
Maybe. We'll think about it.
Yeah, so yeah, daughter of a president. Maybe okay. I say Eisenhower, but that wasn't 1920.
What was 1928?
Who was a president?
You know, it's difficult to say without the internet, so I'm just going to move us along. Well, it isn't what's his face yet. The New Deal. It's all pre.
It's not FDR.
You haven't had the crush yet.
It's still 28.
So who came before FDR?
No one knows.
Nobody knows.
It's not Abe Lincoln. It's not George Washington.
Definitely not.
It's not one of the famous ones.
Yeah.
Oh, it's really nice to have another American on. And you don't immediately know, like, duh, it's blah. Because whenever this comes up, I'm like, oh my God.
I can't name any presidents, but I know everything that happened to, like, Anthony Weiner. Do you know what I mean? I'm like caught with a prostitute.
Which is more useful.
Exactly.
Do you know, I said a socialite to begin with, but because they both went high status, I'm going to say she was like a free-spirited flapper.
You lost confidence. And
I did.
You needn't have.
Oh.
You are closer.
Oh.
These guys are very ambitious. He announces his upcoming wedding to Chicago May. Who is a gangster? So May Churchill, aka Chicago May. So she's been a big gangster.
No.
So this for them.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's been her most famous. So she gets described as a gangster's mole, which some of my sources have said is not fair. She was much more instrumental in
what's a mole?
Girlfriends of gangsters.
I think a lot of those moles got diminished with that term. Yeah. I bet they were doing stuff.
It's like a groupie. It's like the word groupie.
It's she was way more than that. And at this time, she is most famous for her part in the American Express raid in Paris that landed her then lover in jail. But she'd been a successful gangster person all through the 1920s.
And he's like, hey, my dad was maybe murdered there, so we have a lot in common.
Yeah.
You want a trauma bond? A little bit of my trunk.
I couldn't bring my trunk with me, it's too big.
So she has crowned herself Queen of Crooks.
That's awesome. Prince of tricksters.
Yes.
Wow.
It's a match made in...
It's the kind of royal wedding that I want to be a part of.
Right.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. We're here for this. So she also has an autobiography coming out in 1928 called Queen of Crooks.
Oh.
And it's revealing all the secrets of her scandalous
life. Pretty on the nose, but okay.
Yeah.
Bold.
So she's 57. He's 26. She's promoting a book. My question is, do you guys think that they're really in love?
Oh, no. I never doubted it until you asked.
Mm. Oh, and I'm naive. He says, yeah, I see.
I think they are.
Okay.
I think they are.
I want them to
be. I think she loves an accent and a little hot thing. And he loves a mature author.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, they're business focused. I get it. You know, they're going to work together, con people, but it can still be real.
Okay, love it. Okay, so we've got two yeses.
I think, I don't know, maybe he says he is if he tries to con her and then it goes wrong.
Mm.
But he's already proposed to her, so he's got to sort of be into it to a degree. I think it's real. Come on, let's give him a little... He obviously likes an older lady.
He does. He does seem to have form on this.
Yeah.
And why is she going to bother getting married at 57?
Yeah.
With the history... She doesn't need it. She doesn't have to prove anything. She doesn't have... She's not the kind of woman that has to, like... legitimize herself by marrying a man. So I want to think, but the way you're pursing your lips, Katie, tells me that maybe this is all.
Okay, I'm so sorry to disappoint you guys.
Yeah, Matt. He needed a visa.
They are both faking their engagement for PR.
Oh, of course. Geez. We forget.
She's got a book to promote.
That this is all an industry. This doggy dog.
Like, seriously, it's like nothing changes. Shame. I've been very fascinated by my own case, I have to say. So this basically the story of the hot young criminologist and this aging gangster mole, which is how they're all referring to her, is everywhere. It's so sensational. You know, you've got this age gap.
Look how excited we got.
And
it's 100 years later.
And, you know, so they wanted that press. This is basically a huge confidence trick. And they're both promoting books. So hers, we've talked about. His, he's got a new one with a ridiculous title. It's called Ladies of the Underworld, The Beautiful, The Damned, and Those Who Get Away With It, which is very close to a Scott Fitzgerald title, which is also a problem in terms of copyright issues.
The Beautiful and the Damned.
Yeah, I read.
No.
Don't worry about it.
I was like, shall I be impressed? Because I definitely didn't know that. Shall I pretend I also knew?
Blondes can read now.
It does sound like his book is like the like little like middle aisle kind of thing that you pick up.
And
a little bit like Wotabix rather than Weetabix.
He is definitely like an off-brand, and the Beautiful and the Damned had come out in 1922, so it's still pretty relevant. People are like, you know, like, you're not going to get away with that. But at first, it's all going very well. They do this PR press tour. They're getting lots of attention.
Oh, I wrote another book called The
Great Gatsby.
And people who are a bit like The Great Gatsby. So my question is, what goes wrong? Because it's all going quite well to start with. Then what happens?
The lover gets out of jail in France.
Love that. That is a great answer.
Ooh. Very good.
Everyone like gets Kindles and books are dead.
Yeah, it's the end of reading forever.
Wow, you forget how old Kindles are, you know, until you revisit the origin.
No blue light.
Oh, no.
No blue light.
Does someone out them to the press, maybe? Yeah. A jilted former lover of...
Okay.
What's her full name? Something May. Sorry.
Chicago
May.
And her real name is...
May Churchill.
Doesn't matter.
Yes, thank you.
May Churchill, wow. Yeah, I'm going to say somebody outs them.
Okay, you are the closest, basically.
Because I'm the only one who answered.
An investigative journalist digs up and exposes his past.
Oh,
so
okay.
So this presumably very smug journalist asks them at one point, are these books true? Are you both cooking the books? This is like this quote we have. But basic, and then immigration gets involved and things never go well when that happens. Mm. So he's in a bind now. This is catch 22 for him because the journalist says, is it true? Have you been in court, you know, five times, been in prison twice, all of this? And if he says no, then his book is a lie and he's a disgraced journalist. But if he says yes, he gets deported from America because you can't be a criminal when you don't have a proper visa, et cetera, et cetera. So he can't crack America. He's doomed. He has to go back to the UK. They don't get married. And then he does more stuff. He has
they were so in love.
Wait, it was a great story. He writes books under the name Evelyn Graham about the royals, which actually do sell quite well in America.
And who needed a female pseudonym. Sometimes it goes the other way.
He does way more scams. He does he's sort of got this literary agent and then they're a pseudonym for his name. And he sets up Albert E. Marriott. He sets up literary agencies, but they're scams. But even with all these names, he's becoming more and more known and it's harder and harder for him. And he's getting banned from loads of publications. They're all sick of him. There's bankruptcy stuff. He gets accused of nicking manuscripts as well. The whole thing with Gene, it's a mess. Wow. I haven't even told you about this, but he gets married, then he gets divorced. And then he marries somebody else. It doesn't matter for our purposes, but he dies in June 1940, only aged 37.
I was going to say, wow.
Yeah. And his body was cremated at Woking.
How did he die?
Did he move back to the UK and he died there?
He did die in the UK.
He's guess who's
he
back?
Died in Surrey. And it's good. It's very, again, ambiguous, but so it's alcohol related. Okay. But one of the sources I have here says he was found dead in the partly burnt lounge of his house. It sounds like he was burnt in a fire, but I think it's more, I don't know.
That he set badly?
Yeah. Things were not going well for him. He had some fun and then it didn't.
Addicted to the con till the very end, though, from the sounds of it.
But let's inappropriately raise a glass to the Prince of Tricks.
The Prince. Drunk women
solving crime. So I have a listener crime that was sent in from somebody who wished to remain anonymous.
Ooh, well, that's not nice.
Which my favorite kind. It's going to be juicy, you guys. I'm going to try and shorten this just because it's quite long. But so basically, the person that's written in was a trainee student nurse when they were 18, so they were very young. Mm. And somebody needed help, but they said that they needed her to help them wee into a bottle and that they had to help come and hold his penis.
Oh, wow.
So he had to wee in a bottle.
Yeah.
But he requests her... Specifically.
Yeah.
Class, I've fallen for that before, right, girls?
I'm really good. I'm really good at my job.
He was in for, his hands worked fine. He just needed an x-ray on his chest. There was absolutely no medical reason why he would need this assistance. So she was thrown by it, and she was 18, so she's, she's not, completely savvy to the ways of predators. So she advised him that he should do it himself, and then he said that he had a problem and he needed her to have a look. So she excuses herself. She goes out of the room and she wants to ask her
don't look
advice from her nursing mentor. But so outside she sees this male consultant sees her looking a bit perturbed, so he asks what's happened, and she doesn't
perturbed.
I'm trying, do you know what she
perturbed.
It's
the English way of saying perturbed. Perturbed because of the tube.
It's my favorite part of the podcast, Subway. Though, when we listen back to edits.
We call it pertrain.
I love it.
You know what? I like how I say it better.
No, it was really good.
So do I. It's great.
So she tells the consultant what's happened, and he says, if there's something wrong with his penis, I should go and take a look.
Nice.
So I am loving this consultant.
Do you know what, guys? I assumed the consultant was female. No, I didn't. You said male.
Then you ignored his pronouns. So they go in, I'll come in and I'll take notes. So as soon as the consultant's in, the person's written in says this patient's like sweating bullets.
Oh,
the consultant said, you reported a problem with your penis to this nurse. Would you like me to take a look? The patient confirmed and consented to having an examination. I've no idea why he carried on with this story. There was nothing wrong with
him at
this stage.
He had to style it out. That's so great.
Uh-huh. He had to style it out.
Yeah, it's feeling weird.
I know. So the consultant said to me, write this down for me, please. I've examined the patient's penis and found it to be, he paused and made direct eye contact with the patient, thoroughly unremarkable. Isn't that brilliant?
Oh.
I love this so much.
Oh, that's such a gratifying
deal. Oh my God. And the patient, she says the patient never bothered any of the nurses again, but some of them admitted that he had done the same thing to them.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and it's happened a few times since, but I was grateful to have someone around when it happened the first time to support me. My question is this a crime and how would the drunk women manage this situation? Thanks, if this one's a bit heavy and long, unlike the patient's penis.
Hell yeah, girly.
Oh man.
I just thank you, Anonymous, so much.
Yeah, what
this
a
is the happiest version of a stupid situation. Mm-hmm. I love it. And I just love how as much the consultant was such a brilliant ally.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah. People in power need to be that guy or girl.
Yeah. That's like, if you're like, well, what can I do? Do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Particularly like if you
I
want to
know
young.
How long it took him to write that line. He's like, what am I going to say when I write the notes? Like, as he was examining, he was probably like, I need a real zinger here.
Yeah.
What's the best version? Like, I just love
what would
it.
I not want to hear?
Yeah, thoroughly unremarkable.
Oh, it's a crime.
David Good,
by the way.
Girl.
Yeah.
Girl.
Oh, and yes.
It's a crime, for sure.
David's good, David's good, David good, good. David's good, David's good.
But I have
also a crime.
I would love to talk about this more, but we're going to run out of time. So we need to ask Gabby, Brian, what are you up to? Where can we find you? What's happening?
You could find me online, hate to say it, on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, at Gabby is Brian, GABBYISBRYAN. I'm going to be in Edinburgh this year.
Oh, yay!
Running around. I'm not doing an hour, but I'm doing a fun comedy play.
Awesome.
That if you are a fan of New Jersey,
and who isn't?
It is two women, two female comics. We play Billy McFarlane, who started the Fyre Festival, Mike the Situation from the Jersey Shore, and we are cellmates because they were famously in prison together at the same time.
Wow.
So it's a retelling of that, of them in jail,
that
played by two women,
brilliant.
Called Billy and the Situation. We're at Legends. And then I also have a stand-up show coming to The Stand in Edinburgh called Wet Hot American Stand-Ups.
Nice.
And that's the first 2 weeks of August. And then the play is the full month.
Oh,
so
nice.
Come see us.
Yeah.
That's
I'm sorry.
Oh, I have
I've
a
just
podcast.
Got a notification. This is sold out.
It's fully sold out. And I have a podcast called Le Podcast, which is French for podcast. not true. It's L'Apostrophe Podcast. It's my co-host is Zach Senor, hilarious American stand-up. And we talk about, it's just a girl and a gay guy fucking yucking it up. You know the deal.
Perfect.
That sounds great.
Yeah, that sounds
And that's
so
it.
Good.
Thanks for having
me. Oh,
thank you
very much.
What
a detective.
Fun.
What a detective.
One second.
Oh.
Do we have time for the story that we didn't have time for?
Oh, the bloodletting.
Oh.
I mean, the blood... You what?
It was bloodletting. It was a ceremony. Letting. It was a witch's ceremony. I'll just do a bridge. Basically, I was in Maine at a theater residency. I woke up in the middle of the night because I was sleeping next to an open window to screams coming out from the open window. It was a big room where it was like a kind of a commune and a bunch of people were sleeping there. Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm fun. And I wake up and the only other person who was awake was...
Alec.
Yep. And he looks at me and he says, don't you fucking dare, because we always get in these situations.
You're
and
like,
I said,
Funicello, we were built for these situations.
We're in, baby. And I'm, of course, wearing a little underwear and like a t-shirt. And I go outside and there is a woman bleeding out on, and I'm in like in the middle of nature. Like, and it is this woman that the owner of the commune had brought back to,
Ooh.
Have sex with. And she was bleeding out. We're all hammered drunk, obviously.
Obviously.
I do a tourniquet on her
bleeding
arm.
Out from...
Her arm was all gashed open, veins, just blood.
No.
She was in a puddle of blood.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
So somehow I make a tourniquet. How? I went to theater school and public school. And we get this bitch
with
in the car. I did it with I was in the part. I was really in the part. I said, EMT.
Yes, and we'll make
yes,
it over.
And I'll save your life. And we take this girl to the hospital. It's in rural Maine, so the hospital is, of course, closed. Jeez. Where she's bleeding out. She's also kind of a bitch. I do want to put that out there. She was like, just call my mom. And I'm like, I'm saving your life. And then we get her there. We finally, doctor comes. I finally saw her cut in full, you know, light. All of her veins were out. Oh, and then we get back to the house and we ask the owner what the fuck happened.
Yeah. Yes.
That this had to happen, you know? And he lived in a barn on a lofted bed that was lofted on ladders. Ooh. Like ladders on, what's it called?
Yeah.
The rafters.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a mattress on top, and she had a night terror because she was a crazy bitch, and and rolled off of the bed, and her arm caught on one of the ladders, and she fell 6 feet, and it ripped her arm open, and the whole place was covered in blood and skin. And then she came back the next day and pretended like nothing happened. She was like, hey, how are you? And I was like, come here. I said, no, thank
Hi.
You.
I love that it's in Maine, like Stephen King County, because it just sounds like a novella.
Also, I love that all your crazy stories start with, I was at this theater thing.
I've since given up theater for a good reason, because I keep ending up in life or death situations. I was up there doing a puppet show, okay? I shouldn't have been at a hospital.
Oh, you know,
in my underwear. And then we were in the waiting room. I'm in underwear in the waiting room. And the only no one's in there in this closed hospital. And the only thing that is playing on the TV is The Twilight Zone.
Come on.
That's right itself.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. So fun.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter. On Facebook and Insta, we are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you to Acast, and thank you for listening. Bye!
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.